the FBI in peace and war. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Executive Type.
And here is the gold clip with the jade centerpiece. This design is exclusive with us this season.
You like that, Beverly?
Oh, Walter, it's just exquisite. Can I put it on?
Of course.
It will look very dramatic with the young lady's dark hair.
Oh, Walter.
You want to take that one?
Could I?
How much is that?
Well, that would be $355, including the tax.
Walter.
It's all right. We'll take it.
Oh, very good, sir. Is that a charge?
I'll pay for it, and the young lady will wear it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Walter, it's the most beautiful thing I ever saw.
Okay. Well, I guess you've got to get back to rehearsal now, don't you? It's 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Oh, it can't be on. You'll kill me. We're going to break in a new routine this afternoon.
Well, you run along, Beverly.
But I haven't even thanked you.
That's all right. Go on now.
All right. I'll see you tonight, won't I?
Of course.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye. That was $355.
Yes, sir.
Here you are.
Thank you, sir. I'll have your change in a moment.
Yes, do you have a phone I could use?
Oh, of course, sir. You can use that one in the booth right over there. It's for our customers.
Thank you.
Oh, not at all, sir.
Hello, Tri-State Insurance Company. Extension 402, please. Hello, Jerry. It's me, Walter. Is the boss looking for me? Yeah? Well, listen, Jerry, stall him. Will you tell him you saw me down in the claims division and I'll be right up? Okay, Jerry, thanks a lot. I'll do the same for you sometime. Be there in 10 minutes.
Here's your change, sir.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, not at all. Thank you, sir. And I hope the young lady will be happy with the clip.
Yes, yes, I do, too. I hope she'll be happy with it.
At the time that Walter Minnis began his career of forgery and impersonation, he was employed as a bookkeeper with a large casualty insurance company. Minnis was a bachelor, 40 years old, with an uneventful background, few friends, and seemingly very few interests. He was quiet-spoken, well-dressed, and when necessary, could assume an air of importance. In short, Walter Minnis could easily pass as the executive type.
All right, girls, that'll do it. And look, I don't want anybody late for the dinner show, do you understand? Nobody. Oh, Beverly, I want to see you in the office. Go ahead in.
Arnie, I'm sorry I was late, but... Arnie, cut it out, would you? Supposing somebody came in.
Supposing they did. Huh? How come you were late?
He took me to Carter's after lunch. Look, Arnie, solid gold.
Yeah, how much did that set him back?
$355.
Not bad. You're really going to have a trunk full of that stuff before you're through.
Yeah, I guess so. Arnie?
Yeah?
When am I through?
Hmm?
With Walter. Honest, sometimes I can't take it, all that pawing and stuff like a high school kid or something. What are you going to do about him?
Did you find out anything more? Is he married?
No, but I did find out he lives in Boston and he makes his money out of the stock market. That's why he comes to New York every couple of weeks.
You're pretty sure he isn't married?
He doesn't act like the married ones. Arnie, Selma was telling me maybe the club's going to close. Is she just talking?
No, she's right for once. That's why I want to figure out something on Walter.
I could hock all the stuff he gave me. It's about $3,000 or $4,000.
Well, that's peanuts. Bev, I want to get out of this town someday. Go to the coast, open a spot of my own. That'll take a lot of dough.
It sure will.
How about you marrying Walter?
What?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. A guy like that could give you a nice allowance, and then while I was setting up a spot on the coast...
Arnie, you're not serious.
Why not? You could stick with him till I started catching on. Then you could go to Reno and shake him. Maybe even get a nice hunk of alimony. What's the matter with that?
Why, I don't know. I never figured on anything like that.
Well, so figure on it. The way he throws dough around, you could easily get $300-$400 a week allowance.
I guess I'd have to live in Boston, wouldn't I?
So it's only temporary. Who cares?
I'd miss you, Arnie.
We could talk on the telephone.
Wouldn't you miss me?
Of course.
I guess Boston wouldn't be too bad for a while anyway.
Nothing's too bad if money comes with it.
I guess you're right, Arnie.
Sure, I'm right. Anyway, every girl should get married at least once when the right bank account comes along. Yeah, what is it?
Beverly James, is one on the phone.
Who is it, Gus?
What do you think it is? The same guy, a regular pest.
I should take it in here.
Okay.
In 2 hours, and he's got to call you on the phone, huh?
I wish I didn't have to see him tonight, Arnie. Do I have to?
Yeah, you have to. Go ahead, talk.
Okay. Hello, Walter, darling. How are you?
In January 1951, an audit of the books of the Tri-State Insurance Company uncovered a loss of $38,000. Since the company's business covered more than one state, the matter was turned over to our bureau by local authorities. In an interview with the head bookkeeper of the company, we began to suspect forgery as a part of the embezzlement.
Mr. Matthews, will you look at this bank statement for October, please? Do you see those withdrawals that we've marked in blue pencil?
Yes, I see.
We've been over all of your October checks, Mr. Matthews, and we can't find any which correspond to those withdrawals.
I don't see how that could be.
Neither did we, Mr. Matthews. Especially since all your checks are numbered and there aren't any missing.
But obviously, no one could take money out of the bank without a check.
That's right. So we've come to an equally obvious conclusion. Someone forged those checks, then destroyed the forgeries after they were returned here to the company.
Well, do you think that's possible?
Mr. Matthews, how many employees are there in this bookkeeping department?
Just under 100. 96, I believe.
And how many would have access to a company checkbook?
Well, actually, only a half dozen, but I suppose anyone could get hold of company checks if he tried hard enough.
Well, our present belief is that someone did, Mr. Matthews. Someone cashed those amounts, underlined in blue pencil, then somehow destroyed the canceled checks before they could be entered on the books.
That would probably be someone in my department, wouldn't it?
We think so. We'd like to see your personnel records on all of these employees, Mr. Matthews, as soon as possible.
It's a nice place to visit, and 18,602,000 people can't be wrong. They think it's a nice place to live, too. Some live up north in the shadow of Mount Tamalpais, where the fog rolls in like ghostly tumbleweed to envelop the Golden Gate Bridge. Some live down south in the shadows of the movie giants, where the smog rolls in to envelop everything. All of them live in California, a magic state. But this magic isn't merely the result of the magic lantern. It was present long before the first director shouted action. Even before John Marshall whispered gold, California's magic lies largely in its contrast. Here, entire fields glow yellow with poppies or lie barren in waste. Here, the temperature may rise to 134 degrees or sink to 45 below. Here we find the highest point in the United States outside of Alaska, Mount Whitney, and the lowest, Death Valley. Here is the serenity of the missions and the near madness of the freeways. California's many facets give its residents an attitude described by O. Henry. Californians are a race of people. They are not merely inhabitants of a state.
As we were beginning a long and detailed checkup on the financial background and habits of all the employees of the bookkeeping department, Walter Minnis was continuing his pose as a wealthy stockbroker. But like many non-professionals in crime, Minnis's success made him careless after a while.
You sure Mr. Walter Minnis isn't registered here at the hotel?
I'm quite sure, sir.
And he never has been?
Not in the last year, sir.
Oh, thanks. That's what I wanted to know.
Get it, Arnie. Why'd you go to the hotel?
Look, you're going to marry the guy. I wanted to find out just how much dough he had, didn't I?
Well, how much? I bet it's plenty.
Yeah, sure. He's loaded.
Isn't he?
No, he's not. He's nothing but a lousy bookkeeper for an insurance company. He don't come from Boston. He don't trade in stocks and bonds. He's nothing but a two-bit four-flusher.
Arnie, how do you know?
Because I followed him to the insurance company after he left you today. That's how. He was just putting on an act for you.
Well, how do you like that?
I don't.
And all of that jewelry, Arnie, where'd he get the money?
That's what I can't figure out.
And all this time I've been wasting on him. 6 months for nothing.
Maybe it wasn't wasted, Beverly.
You just said it.
Yeah. He's a phony, all right, but he gave you close to $4,000 worth of stuff. He's got to be getting the dough from someplace.
From where?
I don't know. But that's something we're going to find out.
Why bother? If you ask me, we
should... Look, I told you I want to get out of this town. I need money.
You know, maybe he's stealing it from someplace, Arnie.
Maybe he is.
How would you find out?
He's supposed to be taking you out to the races Saturday afternoon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Let him call for you at your place. I'll show you how to handle a four-flusher like that.
Good morning, Miss James. Are we off to the races?
Oh, hello, Walter. Come on in.
Beautiful day, isn't it? Look, I've got the racing form. We can pick our winners on the way out.
That's great. Sit down a minute, Walter.
Well, it's 10:30, Beverly. We don't want to be late, do we?
We're not going to the races. I want to talk to you.
We're not going?
No. Walter, were you serious when you said you wanted to marry me a couple of weeks ago?
Why, of course, Beverly.
What were you going to use for money, Walter? What were we going to live on?
Oh, well, don't tell me you're worried about money, Beverly. I'm no genius, but I can always manage to steal a little spare change from the stock market.
Or from someplace else, huh?
What?
Or maybe we can live on the dough you get from keeping books at the Tri-State Insurance Company.
What are you talking about, Beverly?
I'm talking about a four-flusher who's been giving me the business these last 6 months. That's what I'm talking about. A great big blowhard who never got any nearer to the stock market than a subway ride to Wall Street.
I think you'd better explain that statement.
She doesn't have to explain it. You're the one who's going to do the explaining, mister. What was the idea of giving this girl a sales talk? Tell her all that stuff about your family in Boston. You haven't got any family in Boston, have you?
Just a minute. Who are you?
I'm a friend of Beverly's. You haven't got any family in Boston. You're just a stinking bookkeeper, aren't you?
Answer him, Walter.
Look, I don't have to stand for this.
Oh, yes, you do, wise guy. You're not going to get out of here just yet.
Take your hands off me.
Sit down, Walter.
No.
Sit.
You better do what he says.
That's better. Now we're going to talk, Walter. And you're going to tell me the truth about a lot of things.
Beverly.
Never mind. She ain't going to help you.
Beverly, if I ever meant anything to you...
Meant anything? How do you like that? All you meant to me was a meal ticket.
That isn't true. I don't believe you.
Oh, stop it. You make me sick. All I wanted out of you was enough dough to set Arnie up in business. Arnie, get this over with. I don't even like looking at him.
Beverly.
All right, Walter. Where'd you get the dough you spent on all those presents for her?
I had it saved up.
You're lying.
Give him another clout. He'll remember.
No, I won't have to. I'll just tell him I might make a phone call to the district attorney's office. Tell the DA maybe he ought to investigate a certain Walter Minnis.
I haven't got anything to hide.
Oh, yes, you have, Walter. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to find out.
I swear I haven't. I saved the money.
Beverly, look up the DA's phone number.
Look. Do you want money? Is that what you want?
You bet we want money. Where do you get yours, Walter?
How much do you want?
Come on, tell us where you get it. I don't want to call the cops, but it's...
How much?
Where do you get it?
I don't get much. I couldn't give you much.
Never mind how much. Where do you get it?
I write company checks. I make them out like they were for a claim adjustment.
Go on.
And after I cash them, I wait for them to come through from the bank, and when they come through, I get rid of them.
Well, that's a pretty smart stunt, Walter. Beverly.
Yeah?
Why don't you go make us all a drink? We got a lot to talk about with Walter.
As we continued checking financial backgrounds on the Tri-State employees, bank deposits in the name of Walter Minnis attracted our attention. With no other visible source of income than his salary, Minnis was banking as much as $800 to $1,000 a month.
This land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you and me.
Say Pennsylvania, and we picture Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell, the Saturday Evening Post, and Benjamin Franklin, Pittsburgh with its steady flow of steel, or the Pennsylvania Dutch, their homely philosophy and hearty meals. Seldom do we think of two of Pennsylvania's most renowned sons, probably because they concern themselves more with the South than with their native state. Daniel Boone, for instance, was born in Berks County, but he blazed such a trail throughout the South and the West that the place of his birth is all but forgotten. And Stephen Foster, his birthplace was Lawrenceville, though he longed for his old Kentucky home and claimed that he came from Alabama with his banjo on his knee. The next time we count what Pennsylvania has, bookbinders and Hershey bars and the world's largest potato chip factory, we might also recall what this Keystone State has given to the rest of America. James Buchanan and the United States flag, Little League baseball and professional football, and Gettysburg, a final resting place, dedicated in virtue, liberty, and independence for those who gave their lives that our nation might live.
One whole month and all he gives you is a lousy $1,000. Didn't you tell him what I said, Beverly?
Sure, I told him.
What?
I said he's got to get more money or you'll turn him over to the cops.
So what did he say?
Oh, the same old crying act. All about how could I deceive him, how much he loved me. Oh, Arnie, I'm sick of this whole routine.
Well, we got to eat, don't we?
Yeah, I know.
Look, I tell you what. You hit him for 5 G's more, we'll quit. Go to the coast and see what we can dig up there. How about it?
You mean it, Arnie?
Sure. You can lay down the line this time. Tell him we'll take the $5 and won't bother him no more.
And if he says no?
I don't think he will, Beverly. Just keep reminding him there's that 10 years in jail hanging over his head.
He'll start crying again.
You can stand a little crying for a train ride west, can't you?
I guess so.
Okay. So get to work on it.
A close surveillance on Walter Minnis gave us the proof we needed. Minnis was picked up while cashing a company check made out for a fictitious insurance claim. During a long night of questioning, Minnis admitted very little about his elaborate scheme, but he did seem greatly concerned about another aspect of his arrest.
I'd just like to know who turned me in, that's all.
Mr. Minnis, I've told you several times, no one turned you in. We've been watching you for a long time.
That's a lie. She did it. She said she was going to if I didn't get her the $5,000.
Who are you talking about, Mr. Minnis?
You know all right. Just yesterday she said she was going to do it. She wouldn't believe me when I said I couldn't get all that money at once. She wouldn't wait.
Mr. Minnis.
She's no good. I should have known that. She was lying to me, lying the whole time.
Mr. Minnis, what are you talking about?
I want to see a lawyer. I want a lawyer to get me out on bail. You can't hold me like this.
Mr. Minnis, you'll have a lawyer. You'll undoubtedly be granted bail. Now, will you answer my question?
I refuse to talk any further until I consult my lawyer. I know my rights, Mr. Reynolds.
Walter Minnis was released on bail while awaiting trial. He was forbidden to leave the judicial district where the trial was to be held, but one afternoon, he took a train to a nearby city.
Yeah, who is it?
Bellboy, ma'am.
What are you...
Hello, Beverly.
Walter...
I heard the club was closed, so I went down there, and they told me you'd be here in Philadelphia. Can I come in?
I thought you...
I'm out on bail. I'd like to talk to you, Beverly.
There's nothing for us to talk about, Walter.
I think there is. Beverly?
Arnie's going to come for me in a few minutes. I don't think he'll like it if he finds you here.
No, I'm sure he won't. He don't ever like to see me unless I've got money for him. Beverly, why did you turn me over to the police? Why did you turn me over to the police? I was trying to get the $5,000 for you if you'd only been patient.
Walter, are you out of your mind? I didn't turn you over to the police.
Yes, you did. And I just want to know why. Do you hate me, Beverly?
Don't be an idiot. I didn't...
Yes, you did. Was it Arnie's idea?
Walter, use your head, will you? Why should we...
I treated you pretty nice when I had money. Didn't I, Beverly?
Of course you did. Who said... Walter...
I bought you lots of beautiful jewelry and things like that, didn't I?
Walter, put that gun away.
Didn't I? Treated you like a person I was going to marry? Gave you the best of everything?
Yes. Yes, you did, Walter. Look, honey, guns give me the creeps. Would you mind?
Then why did you turn me over to the police?
I didn't want to believe me.
You're no good, Beverly. The world is better off without your kind.
Walter, you gotta believe me.
Much better off. I don't care what happens to me now.
Walter, darling, listen to me, will you?
Get your hands off me. I don't even like you anymore.
Please, listen to me.
I'm the kind of person just doesn't deserve to live, that's all.
Walter, listen, darling. I didn't turn you in. I didn't want to. It was Arnie's idea. Balding was Arnie's idea.
I think it was you.
No, it was Arnie. You gotta believe me.
So why didn't you stop him?
I tried to, honest. I did, but he wanted more money.
That's who it is.
Who is it?
It's me, Beverly.
Let him in. Let him in, Beverly.
Hey, Bev, sorry I'm late, but she just told me it was your idea to turn me over to the police, Arnie. Was it? Was it, Arnie?
It was your idea. It was, Arnie. I didn't know it. Walter, I didn't. You gotta believe me.
Yes, you did, Beverly. I know you did. You've been lying just to save yourself. You turned me in, Beverly. I know it.
Minnis returned from Philadelphia and surrendered to the district attorney's office, giving complete details of his shooting of Beverly James. Fortunately for Minnis, Miss James recovered from the single pistol shot, and Minnis was not faced with the charge of murder. He was, however, convicted for the criminal assault, and this charge, along with his forgeries, added to a total of 30 years in prison. Arnold Harris and Beverly James were convicted as accessories to Minnis's frauds and received terms of 3 years each. Our books are closed on Walter Minnis, the executive type.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.